going to do. You go back in your mind to the time when you got saved and live it all over again as we're going to, and it'll do your heart good. If you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, you're not going to get buttoned whole at the door. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get called up to the front. But we do hope that you'll listen and that you'll think about what you're hearing. Your story might be very similar to ours, might be very different. But the Saviour that we bring before you this evening that saved us really could save you in the meeting tonight. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here. And before we dive in, I want to give the announcements for the week ahead. On Wednesday evening, at 7:30, in what we term the committee room out the back, is a combined prayer meeting. And then at 9:50, roughly, we'll merge into the Bible study. We are studying the book of Colossians at the minute, and we'll break back into chapter 3 from about verse 18. So if you want to learn a little more about the scriptures, you would be very welcome in this hall at 7:30 on Wednesday evening. Then this day week, the Lord's Day again, in this hall at 11 a.m., the Christians gather to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross at Calvary. You'll notice that theme in all the different meetings. The breaking of bread meeting at 11. Then the Sunday school has started in the room behind with two new families this afternoon. So that was great. If you have any boys and girls in your family or that you could encourage to come along at 2:30 next week, they would be very welcome to join our Sunday school. And then again in the little committee room at the back at 4:00 next week will be the prayer meeting as there was this week. And if you're here in the meeting not saved, there's every chance you were prayed for by name. If not, you were definitely prayed for in the prayer meeting. That precedes the gospel meeting again at 4:30 next week. Mr. David Davidson of Ballyvally will be along to tell you the same good news of the gospel. And I like point 4 here. It says all meetings are announced subject to the will of God. I used to wonder what that meant when I was a wee boy listening to the announcements. But you'll maybe hear it referred to in the meeting tonight about the coming of the Lord Jesus. We all know about his first coming, the little baby in the manger that I prayed about. But he's coming again. And he's coming again to the air and all the saints. Who do you mean by that? I just mean the Christians. The ones that have had their sins forgiven will go to meet him and be with him forever and ever. But he didn't tell us exactly when that would happen. All the things that are to happen before it have happened. He could come this evening, and that puts a bit of urgency in what we're doing this evening and a bit of responsibility, and we hope you'll listen in light of it. But yes, all of these meetings are announced subject to the will of God. So let's put this meeting in context. 20 years ago, there was 3 much younger men stood on this platform. 2 of my best friends, and they're sitting behind me tonight. And we told those that were in the audience how the Lord Jesus Christ had saved us. 20 years have come and gone. I'll just speak for myself so you can chuckle at my expense. I'm a little bigger than I was 20 years ago, and you know what I mean. And a lot of the hairs, the ones that are left, are grayer. I've married a wife. I have a family. And there's big, big changes in my life, and John and Lee will testify to the same thing in the 20 years that have passed since we all stood on this platform as young men. I was announced as a young man this morning, though I was corrected on that by my son, so whatever I am, middle-aged, there we go. There's one thing that hasn't changed. Hasn't changed one bit in those 20 years. And that's why when I was given the responsibility to invite the speakers for tonight, it was an easy choice. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ saved each one of us, he saved us forever. Our sins are forgiven. Between the 3 of us, I'm very glad on that wall behind me, all the times we have let him down are not up on the wall. That would be a shameful episode. But I can speak to you about the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're still saved 20 years later. And we'll remain saved till the day the Lord Jesus Christ comes, or each one of us are buried in death. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ saves, he saves once for all. The message hasn't changed. The good news of the gospel that this hall has been named after is that Christ has died for sinful men. And there's three of them on the platform. So I'm going to invite Lee to come up first. And for those that are here and come here regularly, you'll know Lee well. You've maybe heard his testimony before, but it'll do your heart good to hear it again. You've maybe heard mine 100 times, but it'll hopefully do you good to hear my testimony again as I tell you how the Lord Jesus Christ reached and saved my soul. And for those of you that maybe don't know John, John was in fellowship in this gospel hall many years ago. I'll not steal his testimony. But you maybe there's a new generation that is in Cambridge Avenue and you've never heard John's testimony. And they can take as little time to tell it or as much time as they need. Lee first and then John. And if there's a minute or two at the end, I'll tell you how I got saved. But if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, I would implore you, this is your opportunity tonight to get the great matter settled. As you listen to personal stories, and some will be very like yours and maybe some not, just you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ that we have come to tell you how he saved us could save you too. We'll hand the meeting over to Lee and then John and then back to me. You're very welcome.
It's good to see everybody here, and I'll extend David's welcome and welcome us all here on this very cold and blustery evening. The weather has taken a hit over the last month, but I'm glad to see that everybody has come out tonight. Now, as David has alluded, I will be telling my testimony. Wasn't that long ago I was standing here telling my testimony, so it might be fresh in some of your minds, but I'm hopeful that anybody that's here for the first time, that it might be a help to your soul. Now, I've got two verses to read, the first of which is found in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3 and reading in at verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And we'll read one more verse. It's found in John chapter 3. And don't worry if you don't have a Bible, this one is on the back wall so you can follow along by reading the words on the wall. So John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When David approached me to say, do you remember 20 years ago? There's never a sentence that makes you feel older than somebody trying to remember that far back. It's even worse when you don't remember 20 years ago. But I was born about 40 years ago. I was born in County Down, and I was born into a family where just one parent was saved. My father was saved, my mother wasn't. Both sets of my grandparents were saved. I had aunts and uncles that were saved. So I had a good influence from my family from the moment I was born. And I'm sure if you could ask my grandparents or my mum and dad, my dad or whoever was saved at the time, I'm sure I was well prayed for. As a boy, we lived in a wee town called Ballinahinch, but we went to Gospel Hall just about 3 miles outside Ballinahinch in a wee village called Drumness. Drumness was a very small village. It had a gospel hall, and that's where we would have been taken every Sunday. I remember from a young boy being taken along to all the meetings. I was at the gospel meetings, the Sunday school, taking them when I was older. I was taken along to the Lord's Supper on a Sunday morning. So from a very young age, I knew what the Bible taught, and I knew what the Bible taught about me, that I was a sinner. As David's already mentioned, all have sinned. The Bible teaches that clearly, that all have sinned. And it says that none is righteous. I don't think you have to look too far into the world today and into the news to see what's been going on in the last few days, to see how wicked that man has become. The marches, the protests, the violence, The world is has taken a real turn these last couple of years. But to take it on a personal level, from a very young age, I knew I was a sinner. But, see, God's standard is so high that we can never reach that standard. God gave the children of Israel a set of commandments, 10 commandments. And it's something we would teach the children. You go through the commandments, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not. And to be honest, even from a young child, you've broken maybe 1, 2, 3 of those laws. As easy as that, just as a child. A child that can't even speak can break the law. Did you take that cookie? No. So from a very young age, I knew I was a sinner. But I also knew that even though I had a problem, I knew there was a solution. And as I've alluded to or read the verse, it's on the back wall, that I was taught from a very young age that God loved me. And God sent his son for me. And all I had to do was believe on him and I would be saved. But as a young child, sometimes these things can pass you by. You know them and you understand it to a degree, but sometimes you don't think too long or hard about it. And time went on. But I'll have to say this. I always wanted to be saved. Last time I was on this platform, I alluded to that the last time I was here. And it is true. I always wanted to be saved. And if you went and asked somebody on the street, where would you like to be when you die, heaven or hell? I'm sure everybody would agree they would want to be in heaven. So it was clear for me that I needed to be saved, and it was clear that there was a Savior there, that all I had to do was believe in him, but I always wanted it. But I never made it priority. The Bible tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God, but I never made it priority, and I passed through my early life just attending these meetings, going along to Sunday school, learning the verses, singing the songs, hearing the gospel, but still I wasn't saved. But as I started high school, during the course of high school, there was 3 sort of big events that sort of spoke to me. The first was my first experience of death. Now, up until I was sort of 12, you hear of people that, you know, people maybe far out or people you know whose somebody has died, and it doesn't hit you quite the same as somebody that's personal to you. Somebody that when you're a child, that somebody you know, somebody that you went to their house to, who made pancakes for you or bought you sweets or give you chocolate. And it was my grandfather's mother. She was in her 90s and she had passed away in her sleep. And that was the first funeral I had ever attended. And up until that point, I hadn't really dealt with death that closely. And I remember getting back and I seen the coffin being lowered into the ground. And I was just thinking to myself, if that was me, where would I be? And it was there that I realized how finite life was. That my grandmother, who I knew was saved, was in heaven. But I knew that if I had died, I wouldn't be. And I remember going back. There was many a tear shed. I locked myself in a room. And I really wanted to be saved, but again, you get distracted with everything else that's going on that passed by. Another one was that the one thing that hit me real hard was learning, as David's alluded to again, is about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, at Sunday school, I was taught that Jesus died on the cross and he rose again and he went back to heaven. But it was one gospel meeting, and the man that came to speak was telling us how the Lord said, if I go, I will come again. And it's the first time that really, maybe I'd heard it before when I was younger, but it didn't really resonate with me. But this is the first time hearing that the Lord Jesus was coming back. And there was a moment in time where if he had come back and again I was not ready, I would not be in heaven. And again, this hit me very hard, for many years, where if it got brought up, whether in Sunday school or a gospel meeting again, I would be worried about it for several days after. I would sneak out of my bedroom at night and I would listen to my mum and dad's door to see if I could still hear them. But as usual, it would have just passed me by. I would have went back to bed, eventually went back to sleep, and all the thoughts that I had were soon forgotten. High school went on. Not much happened. There was a man, Samuel, who was on the platform a couple of weeks ago, who made it clear that he did not like school. And I have to agree that as school went on, I wasn't too fond of it myself. But as I was nearing the end of school, we had family up in this hall. We were still down in Ballinahinch direction. And there was a series of gospel meetings that happened around 2001. It was our late brother, Peter Orosok, and Murray McCandless. And at the time, we were coming up regularly, most nights. And it was during these meetings that my mum found a real conviction of her sin. And it was during these meetings that my mum got saved. Again, that was another thing that spoke, you know, very much to me that, I'll be honest, it's not something I probably thought about too much up until this point. But when the moment happened that my mom professed her salvation, and I almost didn't know what to think, I didn't know what to do, I didn't know whether to take salvation seriously myself, I was sort of more in shock. And during the meetings, the Murray McCandless had spoken to me after one of the meetings that I asked to speak to him, and I spoke to him after, and he sort of talked it over with me. But as I said, and I read in the first tonight, from a child I knew the scriptures. I knew I needed to be saved. I knew what the Lord Jesus had done for me, but time passed on. I got to the end of school, and I didn't get the results that I was hoping to get. Well, I sort of expected that I wasn't going to get good results, but I made a phone call to my dad. We were all at school, and there was people that were crying about they didn't get the results they wanted. There was people that were happy, joyous, oh, we got the results, we're going to this university, that university. I opened up my results, and I rung my father and says, it looks like I'm coming to work for you. I wasn't too bothered. I went into work, and it wasn't long after that my father had been working up in the Ballymena area, and it wasn't long after that we moved up here as a family and joined on to this assembly. And I would again continue to come along. I was older now. I was 18, 19, and I had started work. And I was coming along, but not to cause any disruption. I would come along to the meetings as usual and carry on as normal. But I was torn at that time because I still had friends in Belfast where I went to school. And I regularly would have went down with them. I regularly would have went out with them at the weekends. But I was torn about the gospel meeting, and I never really felt 100% comfortable when I was out. I knew, because back in my heart, I always knew I wanted to be saved. But I was almost like, well, if I get saved now, I'll miss something. There'll be something, there's something in the world that I'll enjoy, and I want to enjoy it for a wee bit before I get saved. And I was almost trying to fill like a void in my heart, like an emptiness I had, but I was trying to fill it with things of the world, thinking, well, oh, salvation will be pushed to the side, and I'll fill it up with this for a wee while and see if it helps, and I'll fill it up with this for a wee while, and it never did. And there was one afternoon I came home, and my mother said to me, you know that the Bible teaching weekend that's happening down in Annalong, I've said you're going to go. And I says, okay. And I'm thinking in my head, but it's going to be mostly Christians. Why would I want to go? But again, I'm not going to cause an argument. I'm not going to fight. So I says, okay, all right, that's okay. I'll go along. And I went along, and there's people like David and John was there. And it was up at Annalong, down in County Down. And we went along. And the thing that hit me was the thing that I had been looking for, the empty void that was in my heart, the thing that was missing. I could see it in the younger Christians. I could see it in their daily, over the weekend. I could see how they interacted with each other, how they appreciated the Lord Jesus Christ, how they spoke about him, how they read the Bible and spoke about it. And I could see that what they had was what I was missing. And I remember coming, funny enough, that weekend, it was the Sunday, the weekend had finished, and we were all in our cars coming back. And funny enough, it was my father and my uncle were taking the platform here. And I remember I was so eager that I was adamant this was the night I was going to get saved. And I remember sitting in the middle aisle towards the back. And I remember my uncle got up and he read that verse in 2 Timothy that I read tonight. and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And it was there and then that I realized, yes, I do know how to be saved. Salvation is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I read John 3:16 behind and I said, yes. And I give God thanks for a son. And it was there and then in that seat that I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember getting up at the end, and for years I had not sung a hymn. And I remember getting up and singing for the first time in many a year, singing with a joy in my heart that and a peace that I had found in my heart that I knew was missing. Wasn't long after, in March, so I got saved in February, 6th of February 2005. And it was on the 17th of March, the following month, that myself and John and another boy got baptized. And it was there I came into fellowship here in Cambridge Avenue. But just before I sit down and pass the meeting over for John, I don't know how similar our experiences have been. I used to love a testimony meeting when I was a boy. I used to come and get excited about what stories are they going to tell us. So are they going to be the worst of the worst? And I was all excited to hear all these stories. And you've maybe heard my story and thought, not much happened and there was no near-death experience. I hadn't fallen into the pleasures of sin that I was so deep that it was hard to get out. But I think that that's experience is the majority for a lot of people. You pass along life without real any thought about your salvation. You're almost trying to fill, like I was, trying to fill that void, thinking that you're happy, trying to make happiness in your life. But just before I sit down, there's never a happiness and a joy that you'll ever get that's better than trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. So hopefully those remarks will be a help to someone as I pass over to John.
Good evening, folks. It's really nice to see everybody tonight. We're going to turn to the same part of the Bible that Lee read from. We're going to turn to John chapter 3 and verse 16. It's right behind me. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is our reading from the Word of God tonight. Same scripture that Lee read the night he got saved was that really the only part of the Bible I knew to turn to the night I got saved. But I'm going to rewind the clock a little bit and just tell you a little bit about myself. And I should say, David and Lee will agree with this, tonight is not really about us. Tonight is just really to point you to experiences that happened to our life, in our life, that showed and told us, God was speaking to us, how we were sinners and how we needed the Lord Jesus. And our prayer, unitedly, is that every one of us would go away, if you're saved, rejoicing in salvation, rejoicing in him. And if you're not saved, trusting him. My life is a little bit different. Every life is different. Lee grew up in a home where he would have been going along to the gospel hall and to various meetings and churches, and that was great. And perhaps you are coming along to the gospel hall and you think that these things like the matters of eternity, of heaven, of meeting God, are things that really only the people who go to churches think about. I'm here to just interrupt that kind of thought in your mind tonight and tell you that's not really true. I have to be on good behaviour this evening because my mum's here. But I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but I'm happy to say I grew up in a very happy home. I'm a little older than Lee. Lee didn't give the exact year, so you know the exact age he was. Did you notice that? I grew up, I was born in 1983, a little younger than David as well. And I grew up in Lettercreeve in Bali. So depending on where you are in Bali, I mean, it's either the way in or the way out. So that's where I grew up. I had a very happy childhood. And I just want to say publicly as well, I had a great upbringing. My parents invested every bit of energy and time, devotion, love, resources that they had to give us the very best start. And I am incredibly thankful for that tonight. And if they were saved at that time, they would have had us every meeting. But that wasn't our life then. They loved us dearly. And I'm really thankful for my parents. I'm the oldest of two children. My sister Denise is a couple of years younger than me. But, you know, I'm not here just to talk about that. I had a happy childhood in the 80s. It was a time when children actually went outside. So we ran about the estate and around the football pitches in Harryville. And when we weren't doing that, I was listening to Manchester United on the radio, playing my Sega Mega Drive and listening to music. That was my childhood in a couple of sentences. But I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk about how God began to intervene in a family. And so we didn't go along to church, but a neighbour of ours called Hugh Kerr and his wife Margaret asked us to go to the Sunday school up in Lantara Baptist. And those are some lovely Christian people up there. And that was the first time I got a little Bible. I got it at the prize day. And I was really thankful. There in our home, for the first time in the McBride household, there was a Bible. The light of the Word of God had entered into our experience, as it were, as a family. And I'm sure at that time, the Christians there, we'd went to Sunday school. Maybe for a year or so I went there. Some very faithful people would have been sharing the gospel with us. But I think it's fair to say that back then, I was listening, but I wasn't hearing. I was a child, but maybe my wife would probably say, don't listen still. And I wasn't maybe listening too much to what was said. I was maybe thinking about getting out with my friends afterwards. But I'm sure I heard the gospel, but it wasn't sinking in. It wasn't dawning on me. It wasn't something I was thinking on. And so after the Sunday school years, P6, P7, I left the Sunday school and stopped. And so when I moved from Camp Hill Primary to the big school just up here, you have to see the school, Cambridge House. That was a different time in my experience. So I went into first year. And again, I got a little Bible at school. And it was a little red New Testament. I'm sure pretty much everybody here has one. It's a little Gideon New Testament. And so there was another time that the Bible would enter into our house and into our school bags. And it was a Bible that was a little easier for me to read as well. So I would have read it probably more than my other Bible. And so I would have read it. And I didn't know the way of salvation, but I would have read it. And I should say as well, my form teacher who's here this evening, Mrs. Johnson, would have read the Bible with us, the little Bible that was given to us in school. She would have read John's Gospel around the class with us as well. And I'm really thankful for those days and for that formative memory in my mind. She was an excellent teacher, but I wasn't very good at art. But I did learn things from the John's Gospel in those days. And so you would understand, Lee and David heard the gospel from an early age. My understanding of people who went to church or who went to a gospel hall was that they were good living. So I'd have called you a good living person. I'd have sort of termed it. And probably that was because you'd have heard certain conversations, maybe that had happened at the house. Did you hear such and such has turned good living? And so I thought a Christian like yourselves, like ourselves, was somebody who was trying to do good to get to heaven. And that's not the truth. Lee has been telling us how every single one of us were born sinners. And so I knew I was a sinner as a teenager. But I didn't yet know the way of salvation. I read my Bible. And maybe you think as well that, well, all these people who go to church, and, you know, they're the people who are troubled by the existence of God. If only I was like my friend at school who never had thought, and he was an atheist. Can I tell you, I never had that. So we didn't go to church. I knew there was a God in heaven. Through my conscience, through whenever I'd done something wrong, there was something that I knew that something was telling me that I was doing wrong, and that would have been a lot. My mum can tell you that was a lot of the time. But I went through school, and likely I didn't continue in school. I went to the technical college in Ballymena, and at the age of 16, there was a big buzz about computers in those days. There is now with AI and everything, but in those days there was the impending doom of Y2K and everything that would happen in those days. And so I thought computers would be a good path to go down. So I left school and I went to the technical college. And at that time, I got a job in Wisebuys in Ballymena. Not advertising, but that was where I got my job. And it's probably a good job. I should tell you as well, without embarrassing my mum, my mother worked there, and that's probably how I got a job. Because David would allude to this, I was so shy, so I didn't have to have an interview, but it was great. But it was great to earn money, of course, but I believe that God had us there not just to earn money, but that there would be a meeting. And that meeting was with this guy here, David, behind me. We were a lot younger then. I was about 15 or 16 when I first met David, and David was probably about 18 or so. And we formed a very good friendship in those days. He worked in the furniture. He could sell snow to the Eskimos. And I worked in the storeroom wrapping up all the furniture that he sold. But we had a good friendship. And I should say with a lot of the other folks there that worked in the shop too, and still to this day, it's great to go into them. But why I'm telling you that is, for the first time in my life, this was someone I met and who befriended who was a Christian. And not only that, but he was someone who was really diligent to try and share the gospel with others. And so that was the thing I really admired about David as well. You know, we made fun of him. And it was all in a good way, I suppose, in some ways. But, you know, deep down, I knew that what David had was real. It would have been very easy for David just to go along with everybody else, to impress the girls, to impress everybody else, and to just stay quiet about his faith. But David didn't do that, didn't stay quiet. David shared the gospel with us. And as I say, we would have made fun of him. But, you know, as I was 16, 17, David would have been trying to share the gospel with us, not all the time. We had some many, many good times. It wasn't like he was down the neck all the time. But he knew that it was the only thing really that truly mattered in life. And so perhaps you're here tonight and, you know, you're here for a reason. God is trying to speak to you and to that you might come to Christ. But in those days, I was 16 or 17, and I suppose I was getting into a lot of various things that teenagers do. I was into heavy metal music. My mum can tell you about that. The noise going out of my bedroom was fierce. It was just a form of rebellion that I had as a teenager. I was starting to go out to various nightclubs in different places. I'm not going to get into great details about it all. But safe to say, I thought this was just great. This was a life. But deep down, I knew that kind of thing, going to pubs and clubs, wouldn't please my mum and dad. And I knew deep down that I needed to be saved. The first time really that I really was challenged by the gospel and I believe understood the gospel for the first time was when David asked a question to me. It wasn't when he just preached. Up in the furniture department, we one of the corridors, he said to me, John, he said, if you can get to heaven by the good things that you do or will continue to do through your life and be good living, why did the Lord Jesus have to go to Calvary's cross? And I believe that was the day it hit me. To be a Christian is someone who realizes they're a sinner and they need to be saved. Did I get saved that day? No. Exactly like Lee, there was various things. It's almost like you're trying to weigh up in your own mind, what are you going to do? And that sort of thing carried on with me. I thought to myself, well, I have friends and good friends, but they're pulling me one way, and I loved all of that music, and what am I going to do? And so I would have put it off. But you know, God is gracious. Maybe God has spoken to you throughout your life, and until tonight, you've rejected him. Don't reject him tonight. Come to him. Trust him. I remember in those days, in the year 2000, there would have been, was this 25 years ago, there was bomb scares in the town. And so at that time, you were evacuated from the shops and you had to go down the back and you thought to yourself, well, I remember one of the times thinking this is great, a couple of hours off work. But then there was one particular day I realised, you know, if this thing goes off, I'm not ready. Remember David would have constantly, some faithful Christians would have put little booklets into some of the furniture. I don't think it was David did it, but he would have handed them to me. And I remember being spoken to even on the day that bomb scare came through. We all had to be evacuated, but I didn't get saved then. But into the year of 2001, I was 17, about to be 18, and David and I and another friend, Richard, who was here testifying 20 years ago, was our boss at the time, and they were talking about end time events. The things that I hadn't heard about, not that I might die and be lost, that's a reality for every one of us, but that the Lord Jesus could come back from heaven to take away Christians. And David knew I was interested. He says, would you come tonight to the meeting? To this very room, down to the back, just where the partition is. Somewhere roughly around about there I sat. I couldn't understand much of what the preacher understood, but what I understood that night was there was a big massive chart behind the preacher, and I couldn't get away from it. I was looking at it almost like we knew timelines at school. And I knew at the very end I would have to face God. And that spoke to me. But throughout that year, yes, I would have read my Bible, but I didn't want to give up the things that I was enjoying. Maybe that was Lee's experience as well. But in the summer of 2001, those things would change for me. I left the tech and I was about to start a new course. And I went to work, not just in Wiseby's, but I got another job in O'Kane's in Ballymena, in the factory. And you think to yourself, boys, this is just marvellous. This is fantastic. 6 days and you're earning money and you have no college work to do and all this would be great. But you know, it soon wore off. Remember the July holidays, it would have been the 11th night, the 12th night in that year. I remember being out in one at a pub in Harryville. It's now closed. Remember the next day, and you know, I knew rightly this, it was starting to all wear off. I began to think about the things that David had talked about in the shop. And I thought it was all great, but I knew deep down I needed to be saved. But that time, it was July, the middle of July in 2001. And I remember I couldn't wait to get to the Saturday to tell David, you know what? I want to get saved. I think we were on our lunch break at the same time. And I met him in Bryan Street and I said, David, I want to get saved. Can I say you're not going to get saved if you don't want it? And that day I shared with David, I just want to get saved, David. And he said to me, that's okay, John, that's great. He said, I want you to come and meet some of my friends tonight. Would you come? And I said, I would. The night I was telling you about being here, I made every excuse to not be here. Just any excuse. We're working late. I don't know what. And I made excuses after excuses. That night, I just wanted to get to where David was and his friends. And I remember meeting Graham Thompson at his house. And then we went up to the beach. And a bit like Lee. It was funny what Lee was saying. Lovely what Lee was saying. He could see a difference in Christian friends. And I was the very same. That night, I knew these people were different to the friends I had. Now, some of my friends are still friends. Don't misunderstand me. But these Christian friends, there was something different about them. They loved each other. The Lord Jesus said that, didn't he? You'll know people are my disciples because they have love for each other. And that night, I remember going back, driving down towards Ballymena again, but we stopped in at a friend's house. And those young fellows trying to tell me the way of salvation. Where did they point me to? They pointed me to the very same place of Scripture that Lee and both Lee and myself have read tonight, John chapter 3. That night, I turned on the wee Manchester United lamp I had and got my wee Bible out and started to read John chapter 3 on the Saturday night. I didn't get saved. But on the following evening, it was Sunday, it was the 22nd of July, I was reading John's Gospel, chapter 3, and I can't fully explain this to you folks, but as I was reading those words in John chapter 3, you know what happened? I understood that the Lord Jesus died for me, that God loved me, and that was how I got saved. Now, I'm telling you, it was the 22nd of July. On that night, I didn't know that I needed to have a date of salvation or a time of salvation. You know what I needed? I needed a Savior that night. Now, looking back with retrospect, a few weeks later, I said, oh, I came here, heard people sharing their testimony, and I thought, well, I better figure out that date. You don't need a date. You need a Savior. That's how you saved me. The following night, David and Graham worked in Pennybridge, and they just happened. Nothing happens by chance, of course. Well, I met them at the wee spa in the Larne Road, and they talked to me about what happened, and I was happy to tell them, yes, I believe what you're telling me. I'm saved, and got some assurance. And I've had many happy times since with David and Lee, and many of the folks here have been so good to us, and we appreciate it. One little thing to say, if you don't mind. After I would have shared my testimony with people, after the meeting, people would have said to me, you didn't grow up in a Christian home. Are your parents saved? You'll not mind me saying, just for a couple of minutes, a little bit of that has changed too in my life. See, I believe that God started a work in our family, and it was God that did it, not me. God started a work. And God continued to do a work. Many will know that a couple of years ago, I lost my dad to cancer. He was just a great man. And I loved him dearly. And God took him to glory. But more importantly, God saved him when he was fighting his illness with cancer. 62 years of age. And it was tough and it was very hard for the family, but we had just great solace in knowing that my dad was saved. And then I'm happy to say as well, my mum's here tonight, she'll not mind me saying that my mum got saved too. That year in 2023, in October time. Coming up in 2 years, my mum got saved too. She rang me one Sunday. I could hardly believe my lack of faith as a Christian. I could hardly believe it. She told me, John, I've got saved. I went to a meeting with Roberta and I've trusted Christ. And it was great. One other wee thing I want to say, that it was a friend, Roberta, who worked with her in Wisebys and shared the gospel again with mum. And she trusted Christ. If you're a Christian today, don't give up on your school friends, your work colleagues, your neighbours. Try and point everyone you can to the Lord Jesus. And I'm happy to say as well, God's done many wonderful things to us and for us. And he's a great saviour. And he's given us a lovely wee daughter. And last year, wee Penny told us she got saved too. So, I want to stress, I don't want you going away thinking about me tonight. I want you to go away and think about my lovely saviour, the Lord Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Have a guess where we're going to read. Turn to John chapter 3. If that did your heart as much good as it did mine, that would be wonderful. John chapter 3. And we'll break in at verse 7. We're breaking into the story of the Lord Jesus Christ having a conversation one night with a ruler of the Jews. The Jews were God's special chosen people. The Lord Jesus Christ himself was a Jew, but he was no ordinary Jew. He was the Messiah. He was the Savior. He was the one that had come to shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary, not just for the Jews, thankfully, but for us, the Gentiles, as well. And this conversation ensued, a real conversation between a real man, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And very gently and very kindly, the Lord Jesus Christ, in front of Nicodemus, dismantled everything that he was holding on to get to heaven. And the comment was made in verse 7. If you have a Bible with you, that's great. If not, don't worry, I'll try and read it as clearly as I can. "Marvel not, don't be surprised, that I said unto thee," this is the Lord Jesus speaking unto Nicodemus, "ye must be born again." That was the Son of God speaking. That gives it authority. And when the Son of God says, "ye must do something," well, that gives it even more authority. "Ye must be born again." Nicodemus was confused. He thought, as would I, that meant he would have to be born again as a little baby into the world. But what the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to explain to Nicodemus was that he needed a new start. He needed a new beginning. All of the sin in his life to that point and beyond needed to be forgiven. He needed to be born again. But the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't going to leave him to figure that out by himself and wonder how it would happen. And we're going to go to the same verse behind me that Lee and John have read, and it's my privilege to read it to you as well. "For God," remember, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking himself, "for God so loved the world." I love that wee word, "so." That's not the world, the planet, the soil, and the sea. That's you, and that's me, and that's everybody else. "That he gave his only begotten Son." Remember, it was the Son speaking. He was speaking about his Father, who gave the Lord Jesus Christ to a world of sinners that would reject him, that would nail him alive to the cross at Calvary. For what purpose? "That whosoever believeth in him," that's you and me and everybody else, "believeth in" who? "Believes that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he shed his precious blood for you." Imagine Nicodemus hearing this most famous verse in the Bible live from the lips of the Savior himself. "Should not perish." Nicodemus was getting a promise that day that I can give to you in the meeting tonight on the authority of God. That if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you trust him to forgive your sins and to take you to heaven to be with him forever and ever, you'll never see hell. You'll never be punished for your own sin. You'll never find yourself, and I trust I speak with tenderness, you'll never find yourself in the lake of fire Because the day you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior is the day that you realize that he was punished instead of me. I don't need to be punished for my sin. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for my sin. And how does the verse end? But have everlasting life. Imagine being in heaven. I'll speak to the Christians for a tick. You're going there. I wonder, can we see it in your face? I wonder, can the folk I work with and I'm friends with, can they see it in my face? We're on our way to heaven, and not one of us deserves to be there. What if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved? I do the best you can. That's wonderful. But good works won't get you to heaven. You'll know the Christians by their good works, or you should. But if you're depending on the good works to get to heaven, well, I'll ask you the same question I asked John all those years ago. If all you have to do is make sure that your good works outweigh your bad works and that gets you an entrance into heaven, why would the Lord Jesus Christ have ever went to the cross? There must be more. There has to be more in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Verse 36, same chapter, John chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. There's why he died on the cross at Calvary. But there's the other half. I must be faithful. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If you want three wee points. For God so loved the world. Ye must be born again. He that believeth on the Son hath. I'm going to take you to the summer of 1987. I'm six, so you can do the maths. And yes, I'm older than the two behind me. And those of you that come here, you could tell my testimony for me. But maybe there's somebody here this evening and you're not saved and you've never heard my wee story. Well, my mum's at home with a sore back, and that's usually the story. And Dad's here. And they brought me up to know that I was a wee sinner. And I proved it to them daily. And I went to the Sunday school here, and the children's meetings, and the gospel meetings. And I learned that my sin would not go unpunished. I wonder if you're in the meeting tonight, and you realize you're a sinner. But when you think of punishment, and you don't want to be punished, who wants to be punished for their sin? And you think of God of love, and how could God punish me for my sin? Well, here's what I always say to the boys and girls. Think of the bully in your class, or the bully at your workplace, and there's usually one or two. And if they were to do something to you, and the teacher was to see and say nothing, eventually you go, "Miss, can you see what's going on here?" "I can." "What are you going to do about it?" "Nothing." And there's something that just rises up inside you as I tell you that little story that many can empathize with. That's not right. That's not just. Sin has been committed. There must be punishment. And isn't it so easy for us to point the finger at the bully in my wee analogy? And yet isn't there the three fingers pointing back? We are measuring the behavior of others against our own standard and saying that's not right. But God in heaven is measuring all of our behavior against his own standard. And as Lee has said, the standard of God is absolute perfection. And we fall so far short. You didn't need to tell a little boy of six in the living room floor of the house I lived with and mum and dad to 2008 that I was a wee sinner. I knew I was. You didn't need to tell me that I needed to be born again. I knew I needed to be saved. And as I sat in the living room floor that day and listened to a little girl singing on a tape in the background about being born again, I knew I wasn't. I told my mum that. And I told her that I would need to be saved, and she agreed. And I'm looking at a wee note here that I wrote from the first testimony meeting I ever took. And the sellotape has went yellow because it's almost 30 years old. But nothing's changed. The wee note here says, that Mum told me to climb the stairs and tell God about it. That must have been easy for you. You knew all the verses. I knew a few. You'd been to Sunday school classes. I had. You said you'd been to children's meetings. You'd even been to gospel meetings like this one and this hall. I had. And I hadn't a clue what I was going to say. And I went into the bedroom at the back left of the house. And I closed the door beside me and got down beside my wee red bed. And here was the words of a six-year-old and all my innocence. But almost 40 years later, nothing's changed. I should have died on the cross instead of Jesus. But Jesus died on the cross instead of me. Is that it? You're 44 years of age. I've done the maths here, right? Is that all you have? Yeah. Did you know you were saved then? I did. How did you know? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Let me break it down just as simple as I possibly can. Heaven is God's heaven. So surely it makes sense that the way to get into God's heaven is God's way. Part of what makes heaven so special is that there's no sin in heaven. And what a problem. Because you and I, if we're honest before God, we're just full of sin. So there was me, a little boy of six, full of sin. And a heaven that I wanted to go to. And by definition, I could not go there because I was a guilty sinner. And God looked down from heaven, and I'll make it personal to me. You make it personal to you. And he said, David, I love you, but I cannot stand your sin. I am a holy God. I am a righteous God. I am a sin-hating God. You wouldn't like it if I ignored somebody's sin against you. Well, I can't ignore your sin against me, and I will punish it. What an awful message. And if that was the only message that I had to bring you tonight, I think I would keep it a secret. But that's not where God stopped. However, David, there is an alternative. I love you. And I have sent my Son, my only Son. And when he died on the cross at Calvary, he died for you, David. He took your punishment. I am the God that cannot lie. And I am telling you that my Son died instead of you. Will you believe me? And as a wee boy that day, I just put my trust in him. And I realized I am a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. I should have died on the cross. It was me that had sinned. But the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross instead of me. And I'm here to tell you this evening, if you're under the sound of my voice, God loves you. And he sent his Son to die for your sins. You need never be punished for your own sins. You need never see that awful place called hell. The Bible says you must be born again. You need that new start. You need that life that only God can give, but he won't force it upon you. Each of our lives took different paths, but we got to that point where the choice was ours. I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and all the blessings that come with it, or I reject him. And that choice is yours in the meeting right now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I commend my Savior to you. Make him your own. Put your faith and trust in him. Thank him for dying for you. As I tell the boys and girls, and with this I finish, my three favorite words: sorry, repent of your sin. Tell the God of heaven that you are a sinner. It's no news to him. Tell him how sorry you are for your sins. Thank you. Thank him for sending his son to die on the cross for everybody else's sins. No, to die on the cross for your sins. And please, please forgive my sins. And he will. Wouldn't it be great if you were able to tell, just as we have, of saving grace, that the Lord Jesus Christ has died in your place? We'll close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we would bow before thee once again to thank thee for a story to tell. We thank thee for Lee. We thank thee for John and what we've been able to speak in weakness. May someone in the audience this evening might realize that our Savior is real and that sin is real. And each one of us deserve to be punished for our sins. But we thank thee for thy great love and for the one who left thy side and went all the way to the cross at Calvary. May one of our friends this evening ask themselves the most important question as they look by the eye of faith on the man of the center tree at Calvary. Who is he dying for? And answer it. May the scales fall from their eyes, Father. May they realize for the very first time, I am a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. Bless the testimonies with salvation. For it's only in thy Son's precious and worthy name we pray. Amen.